Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Registered dietitian Sarah Keogh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sarah, we're all experts on vitamins at this stage, right? Mm-hmm. Minerals are all the new buzz now, and I think it's hard to know what's what because there's a lot of hype around different minerals at the moment. So you're going to give us a bit of a crash course. So what do we mean when we talk about minerals in our body?
So minerals would be what we'd call inorganic nutrients. So for the non-scientists out there, a lot of other foods we'll talk about have been organic, and I don't mean in the sense of pesticide-free, but kind of coming from that it's kind of carbon-based. We talk about things like vitamins, proteins, carbohydrates.
They are life. They're
kind of, yeah, so they're generally, so, but when we look at minerals, they're, now I know some of the geologists are from a chemistry point of view, they're basically kind of rocks. So we're looking at minerals come from, you know, if we talk about minerals in terms of geology and things like that. So when we talk about minerals in the body, they are the same thing. With that. And we need them in very, very tiny amounts. And what's crucially important is we cannot make them. So we do have to eat them. They have to come in through our food if we're going to get the benefits that we need from them.
Okay, so take us through a few of them then and how they help us function. Potassium.
So potassium is a really important one. It's important for muscle contraction and it is important for regulating kind of fluid in your body a little bit. So it's actually really important around blood pressure is the day-to-day reason a lot of us would talk about potassium. So if you have high blood pressure, eating foods that are rich in potassium actually are very good for helping to regulate
it.
A banana would be really good,
classic,
you know. Yeah. And I think potassium is kind of known for a lot in terms of cramps and things like that. And that is because it is involved in sort of muscle contraction and so on. But the big one from a health point of view is we want to eat lots of fruit and veg in terms of topping up our potassium all the time.
Okay. Calcium?
Calcium is very famous for being important for bones and bone health, which it is. But calcium is also, it's actually very important for keeping your heart beating. And it's very important for blood clotting. So we actually use it for lots of different things. So it's one of the reasons why, you know, people, when I talk to people about eating more calcium, they say, well, I had my blood test and my blood calcium was fine. It doesn't track. Actually, your body doesn't let your blood calcium levels get low because you need blood calcium levels for your blood to clot, for your heart to beat. So you could be eating very little calcium and still have good calcium levels because your body's busy sucking it out of your bones.
Okay, but there's a strain underneath.
There's a strain underneath with it, yeah.
And iodine?
So iodine is a really key nutrient.
Iodine.
And it's, they're both ways. It's really important for your thyroid. So for your thyroid, it makes a hormone called thyroxine, and thyroxine regulates your metabolism. So it can go, if you don't have enough iodine coming in, that can reduce the amount of thyroxine you make, and that drops things like energy levels and affects brain function. It's actually crucially important through pregnancy. It's very, very important for brain development. And you would have heard a term, you don't hear it a lot anymore, but it's a specific condition called cretinism, which is where the brain is very underdeveloped through pregnancy due to lack of iodine.
Yes. Okay. And where do we get iodine?
So iodine, the big source, seaweed would be one, but we don't eat kind of a whole lot of seaweed in Ireland. So actually in Ireland, most of us are getting it from milk. So dairy, milk, yogurt, cheese would be the big places we pick it up.
Now, listen, electrolytes are very popular now, and I don't think most people even understand what they are, but there's various drinks and sachets and fitness types quite into them. I think kind of for rehydration, what are they and what do they do?
So electrolytes are minerals as well. They kind of just get a second name because when we talk about them in the body, they're involved in sort of an electrical charge in the body or an electrical difference, and that difference actually helps to move water in and out of your cells, which is really important. We want water in compartments, so we want some in the blood, some in the brain, different things like that. And what can happen is if these minerals, particularly things like sodium, potassium and chloride, if they get out of balance, it changes water balance in the body. So a very famous one would be someone who drinks a huge amount of water, washes too much sodium out of their body, and that ends up with the brain taking up too much water and swelling. And people can actually and have died as a result of doing that.
Okay. So who needs to be taking electrolytes, you're calling them?
Yeah, so I mean, they're both the same. Yeah. So we eat them all day in our food. Actually, we get plenty of them. The only time that you might add them in extra would be if you were losing a lot of fluid for some reason. So if someone's having a tummy bug and they're really quite sick, you might give them electrolytes. You know, those famous ones we all had when we were kids. Where we're seeing a benefit is for people doing a huge amount of exercise where they're sweating a lot. So your marathon runner would be your big, big person.
Okay,
for that.
What about your 5K merchant or your gym merchant?
Probably not really. I mean, they're not going to do them any harm. But you know, if you're eating kind of your normal foods with that, you probably don't need to top up with that. We really see it for that very long distance, heavy sweating, where you're losing some of those electrolytes starts with the sweating over hours and hours and hours, and you're not eating, you're not kind of catching it back up in your food.
Okay. And like the weather is quite hot and close at the moment, and people are sweating a lot. You have a handy recipe for a homemade electrolyte drink.
Yeah, I mean, one we'd actually use a lot, really handy one, is that you're kind of doing half water, half or something like orange juice would be really good, and then a pinch of salt in it. And the orange juice is going to give you the potassium, the salt is going to give you the chloride and the sodium, and then you've plenty of that hydration with it. And a little bit of kind of natural sugar from the fruit juice is just going to kind of be a nice replacement if you've been doing a lot of exercise.
And milk is great for rehydration as well, is it?
Milk is fabulous. And in studies in terms of what to actually drink when you finish exercising, skimmed milk has outperformed everything else because it has a little bit of the sodium in it. It's going to have a little bit of magnesium. It's got definitely got the potassium. It has a little bit of the natural milk sugar, the lactose is there, but it's also got some protein as well. So skim milk actually is a fantastic drink in terms of rehydration, a little bit of protein and everything.
So post-gym, post-exercise, the old pint of milk that's gone out of fashion. Yeah. Okay, iron you say we should pay more attention to. How do we know if we have too much, too little iron?
So iron is an interesting one because in Ireland, one in five of us carry the gene for a condition called hemochromatosis, which makes us absorb too much iron. So that's why I'd always say, I'm going to talk about iron here, but you know, my disclaimer here is don't rush out and start taking iron supplements until you've had a blood test.
Right.
But for a lot of us, low iron is a bigger issue, and we see huge numbers of people who are low in iron, and particularly women sort of what we call childbearing age, so kind of between puberty and menopause, because once women are starting having periods, they need that extra blood or extra iron, so they're going to need double the amount of iron as men. As adults, and they often miss it. So low iron is going to make you feel tired. It can actually drop your mood. A lot of people where they would look and think, well, I have a low mood, maybe I'm a bit of depression, things like that. Actually, it's low iron that's the issue with that.
And is there a blood test in the standard suite of blood tests you get
so
at the GP?
What you would do is your standard test, your GP would do what's called a full blood count, and they will look at a marker called your hemoglobin. But you would also always want to get your ferritin, which is your iron stores, checked, because even if your blood iron, your hemoglobin is healthy, if your iron stores are low, you'll actually see, we see an impact on concentration and energy even with that.
So you ask to add in ferritin into the blood test. Okay. Magnesium is having a real moment. I think as a sleep aid, especially a lot of people are saying, is this more hype?
It is and it isn't. I mean, it's an important one. And what's interesting about magnesium is the amount of it you need changes with your weight and changes with what else is going on in your life. So if people are actually going through a very stressful event, for example, they sometimes might need a little bit more magnesium. We see it, people who've undergone trauma might need a little bit more. We see it around if someone's having surgery or things like that, it goes up a little bit. But it's interesting, I'm on Instagram at Sarah Kyo RD, and I did a poll during the week on can you get magnesium from your food, and 25% of people said no, you can't. You absolutely can. Now supplements can be helpful.
Banana again, doesn't it?
Yeah, banana will actually a little bit. Nuts and seeds are fantastic.
Nuts and seeds,
they are absolutely fantastic. And I would say if you're not eating nuts and seeds, you're probably not getting enough magnesium. And magnesium is really good in terms of sleep. It definitely supports it, and lots of other things affect sleep as well. But it's very important for lots of systems in the body with that. So your nuts and seeds are brilliant, but whole grains are great. Green leafy veg are going to be in there as well. So there's loads and loads of foods you can get it in.
Okay, give me a roundup of the superfoods we should all be eating to keep our general minerals
up. Really, your nuts and seeds are going to come in there all the time. Your whole grains are going to be fantastic. Mixes of different fruit and veg so that you're getting some green and, you know, the bananas, that there's, you're not just focusing in on one type with that. But then dairy is going to be really important for your calcium. And then for zinc, you're really looking at animal proteins. Now, you can definitely get them in plant proteins as well, but things like meat, fish would be fantastic for your zinc as well.
Yeah. Ultimately, like, your advice is always the same. It's a good varied diet of real food, yeah?
Absolutely, if you can. And obviously, if you struggle for that for some reason, supplements are fantastic as a backup for it. But I always say, you know, food first if you can with what you're doing.
Yeah, and don't eat the same thing every day, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah Kyo, registered dietitian and rock of common sense. Thank you very much.